Hey, welcome back to the Mark Mosey Show. And joining me right now here on the phone line to talk all things college basketball. And don't worry, we got much to discuss. Great friend of mine who covers the ACC. His name is Chris Graham with the Augusta Free Press. Chris, my man, how you doing today?
I'm great. There's so much in college basketball going on right now that I feel like it's just a kid in a candy store.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. What's funny was I was trying to get you on yesterday. I know you got super busy. And what's funny, we talked about this off air. It's even better today. We have news storylines where now Duke basketball is in doubt. Maybe Carolina's going to be the best team. Maybe Virginia. I mean, let's talk about last night. What did you think of Zion, where he blew out pretty much his knee in the first 30 seconds of the game?
The first thought I had was, you know, all these people who paid $5,000 for their tickets, they got to see 30 seconds of them. It's kind of like if you bought tickets in the 90s to a Mike Tyson fight, you know. Wow, you spent a lot of money and you didn't see much. Because after Zion goes out, that's just a regular college basketball game.
Here's the question then. Did they pay to see Zion or did they pay to see Duke Carolina? That's what I'm confused on.
They paid to see Zion. I mean, the Duke Carolina series course is so celebrated. But those tickets are hot tickets, especially at Duke. You know, yeah. That arena only holds about 9,000 fans. A lot of those are students. So, you know, tickets are a premium for that just in general. And, of course, it's a number one Duke team, a number nine Carolina team. But, those tickets weren't more expensive than Super Bowl tickets because it was Duke Carolina. That's the case every year. I've been to two Duke Carolina games now. They were at the ACC tournament each of the last 2 years. It's a big deal to see Duke and Carolina in the same gym playing basketball. But, no, it was, you know, that level of interest was, President Obama wasn't there to watch Duke play Carolina. He was there to watch Zion Williamson on Duke's team play North Carolina.
Now, here's the thing. We've talked about this for weeks where Duke has multiple first-round picks on their team. But you notice they lose Zion, and then they don't even have one lead for 40 minutes. Not one against Carolina last night. So, does Zion win just National Player of the Year? Is he the MVP, buddy?
Well, if he's not National Player of the Year, he's MVP. You know, but going by most valuable being those M and the V and the MVP. Clearly, because, you know, me as someone who watches ACC basketball every night, writes about it a lot, you know, they still got R.J. Barrett, who came into the season as the consensus number one draft pick in June. He's now fallen all the way to number two. Cam Reddish was anywhere from 3 to 5 in the June draft, and he's probably still in that area, even though he's had a subpar season. So it's hard to get too upset if you're a Duke fan in one sense. Well, we still got two of the top three or four picks in the draft on our roster, but they don't have anything after that. That's the big issue. And we've seen them now. This is three losses for them. One of those losses was a full-strength loss, neutral court, in Maui against Gonzaga. The other was at home for Syracuse when they were without Cam Reddish and also lost Trey Jones to an injury in that game. Trey Jones is another freshman who, before Zion Williamson committed, was looked at as himself probably a first-round pick if he played 1 year at Duke. And he's probably still looked at that way, but... But yeah, it's, you know, after those three guys, after those four guys, and then with, you know, when you miss somebody, there's just nothing. You know, it's very top heavy roster, and there's just no depth. So when you know you lose Reddish, when you lose Jones, they almost lost to Florida State when Williamson got hurt in the second half. They were also without Baird in that game. So when they're down, guys, the lack of depth really shows.
We're with Chris Graham, Augusta Free Press. All right, let's go over the play. Because when I first saw it, I'm like, what is Zion doing? What is this move he's trying to do? Like, I feel like he forgot that he's 280 pounds, and he's trying to do some weird type of crossover. People are blaming the Nike shoe, but I kind of blame Zion as well. What was he doing on that play, Chris?
I think he was trying to do too much, just very generally speaking. I mean, yeah, you're right. That, whatever he was doing there, he was dribble driving. He's a left-handed, primarily dribbler. He was dribbling to his right-handed, and then he was attempting at about the foul line, just a little bit out from the foul line, attempting to reverse course and sort of, you know, try to take an open lane to the basket from there, just trying to do too much. And I think maybe the moment got caught up. We're 30 seconds into the game, first possession of the game offensively for Duke, And, you know, there's all these people here, all, you know, President Obama's here, et cetera. I mean, you know, all, every Duke legend that's out there is in the arena. And I think he just got a little too hyped. The moment got a little bit too much. He tried to do too much. And, you know, me being amateur athlete that I am, you know, there are times I'm out there at the YMCA in a rec game, and sometimes you just let your mind wander too much and you try to do too much that your body can't do. And, you know, Zion Williamson is not someone who has an off button. He's not found out yet what he can't do. Last night he found out, hey, can't do that.
Have you ever had a gym shoe, a brand new gym shoe, fall apart like that before? Because no.
Important clarification, brand new gym shoe. No, I've had gym shoes fall apart.
Yes.
You know, they're wearing brand new shoes, yeah.
Yeah, I've had it where I love the basketball shoe so much that, like, you know how the bottom rubber starts falling off in the back of the shoe? I've done it where I'll try to, like, glue it back together or staple it. Like, I've done that as well because I just love the shoe and I love playing them. But a brand new shoe, is this not good for Nike with what happened last night?
It's not good for Nike because, yeah, Zion Williamson's 6'7", 285. He's a freakish athlete. He does all these amazing things. And last night he was trying something that he shouldn't have tried, and we know that. But, you know, for the average person out there, all they see is that the shoe split. And, no, it's not good. Of course, you know, the factor here is, you know, Nike pays schools in college basketball. They pay AAU teams to sponsor their teams. And Coach K makes a lot of money for Nike. Duke's under contract to Nike for however long. It's, you know, another few years. That's the underside of the business. It's not like Zion just wearing random shoes he bought at, you know, the shoe store. Those are supplied to Duke by Nike. Those are supposed to be the best shoes out there. And, yeah, that's not good because, not only is it not good in the short term, but long term, you know, they're hoping, I'm sure Nike and Under Armour and Converse, whoever else, they're all lining up to sign Zion to be their, you know, to be their guy and, you know, to build the next Air Jordan type brand perhaps, right? Well, Nike probably just went down the list as far as Zion's concerned. That's a factor. And then also, yeah, just the public factor of their shoe split and how many people have seen that in a basketball game.
Did you see where Puma, they posted the tweet? Like, this never would have happened in a Puma shoe. Did you see that?
I didn't see that, but I'm not surprised. I think if I'm social media for any of those companies, I'm out there doing that, that kind of thing. And, you know, Nike's going to have to spin this now. I'll be Darren Revelle here for a second, I guess. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to spin this down the road. You know, I mean, we haven't gotten the word yet. As of the time we're talking right now on Thursday afternoon, we don't know officially what the situation is with Zion. I mean, is he more hurt than we think? He missed the rest of the game last night. Coach K said after the game that it was just a mild knee sprain, but I think that's what you have to say if you're Coach K, to keep people sort of at bay until we know for sure. MRIs, the MRI will give us more of a definitive indication. And then even if the MRI comes back positive, does Zion decide to shut it down because of being afraid of what happened last night? So all of that said, yeah, you know, we just won't know what the damage really will be to Nike, but at some point they're going to have to come back with something and make amends here so that they can repair their reputation.
If I'm Zion Williamson, I am not playing anymore for Duke. I have given my time. I'm done. You're not going to destroy my future so you can win a stupid ACC championship. That's how I feel. What about you, Chris?
That's hard because, you know, that's a really obvious take right now. A lot of, but I say that my first thought last night, same thing. Hey, he's got an insurance policy that says if he suffers an injury and falls below the 19th pick in the draft this year, he would get $8 million. But $8 million is a drop in the bucket compared to what this kid's worth. Now, the NBA rookie salary structure, you know, you sign a 3-year deal, you can, you know, then you can extend from year 4 on out, and then, you know, there's a further extension, I think, about year 6 or 7. He won't get a lot those first 3 years. Second contract, he'll get paid pretty well. That third contract, he's going to make $1 billion, perhaps, by the time, you know, we go through the next NBA PA negotiation with the NBA owners. He's worth $500 million to $1 billion, just NBA salary over the lifetime. All the money he's going to make from endorsements, or, you know, you would assume he'll make from endorsements. You know, an $8 million insurance policy is not worth it to risk it again. And, you know, again, we don't know the extent of it right this second as we're talking, but, you know, even if it's just the fear factor of, man, I'm if he does dodge a bullet here, he dodged a bullet. And you're right, Mark. I mean, you're playing for free right now. You know, there were NBA players last night. I can't think of who the player was who tweeted, you know, basically the NCAA needs to rectify this because, you know, these guys are out there getting hurt playing for free. But that is the reality of it. And, you know, I would wonder about Williamson. I would also wonder if I'm fair. You know, Cam Reddish has had a really down year for a guy who's still projected as a top five pick in the draft. The Barrett's look pretty solid. You know, you have to wonder, even if he doesn't, if he doesn't sit on the sideline, if he's thinking, man, you know, you'll be a down for a loose ball now. I'm worth a lot of money. It's definitely a question that will have to be answered between now and, you know, whenever Zion might be able to crank it back up.
See, this is where I go back and forth, where, you know, college is very expensive. And to go to Duke University is probably a fortune for an average student to go there. So these guys are getting a free ride. But then at the other side of the spectrum, you started this conversation, Chris, with a great point where some people are spending $2,500 minimum. That's the low end on the market to get those tickets. You mean to tell me I'm playing for free and you guys are getting money off me playing? This is ridiculous after a while. So
even if the value of the scholarship, sorry to interrupt, but even if the value of the scholarship is $50,000 for a year, one, if you're a one and done kid, that's $50,000 towards what? A few credits, because you're not going to redeem them very much. You know, he would have three or three and a half years still to finish a degree at Duke. You know, Duke, I looked these numbers up for a different column I wrote a couple weeks ago about ACC schools and how much money they make from basketball. And the most recent year for which we have full accounting figures, 2016-2017, Duke brought in $34 million in basketball-related revenues. That's more than a lot of schools bring in football-related revenues. So $34 million, you know, they spend a lot of money, too, most of that in coaching salaries, obviously. But that's a lot of money to bring in for basketball. And, you know, to say that, you know, we're making that kind of bank and then we're giving you a scholarship, so consider yourself repaid. No, you know, Zion Williamson, R.J. Barrett, Cam Reddish, guys like that are worth a lot more than a college scholarship. And that's why we're having this debate right now. And it's all over the sports world today. It's because, you know, do you go out there and risk getting hurt when you are as bankable as Zion Williamson? Again, he's not just the first pick in the draft next year. You know, if he plays to the potential we all think we see in him, you know, he's a LeBron James, Michael Jordan type, you know, productive player for 15 years from here. And he's worth, again, he's worth at least $1 billion in terms of NBA salary and endorsement value. So, you know, yeah, you know, you want me to dive on the floor for a loose ball again? That's the question.
You know what's interesting? If he doesn't get injured and Duke wins and he puts up his monster usual 20 and 10, whatever he does, we're not having these discussions today. It'd be boring. Doesn't this make the Zion narrative more interesting moving forward?
It does, but it's also potentially, you know, damaging for, you know, this weird relationship the NBA and NCAA have. It doesn't seem like either side necessarily likes the one and done situation that we've had for the last few years. And this really heightened it. I mean, we've had these discussions on a more intellectual level. In fact, I think Scottie Pippen brought it up a couple of months ago. You know, sort of random discussion. Hey, if I'm Zion, I'm shutting it down. At the time, though, of course, there was no injury. There was nothing to worry about. He hadn't even, you know, sprained his ankle or stubbed his toe on anything as far as we knew at that stage. It was more, again, an intellectual exercise. If he gets hurt, aren't we all going to worry about that? And, you know, what makes him so unique, and I guess every athlete to a degree, but especially Zion, he's 6'7", 285 with incredible athleticism. And let's just say that we find out today that, you know, the MRI comes back and it's much worse than we thought, and he's even torn his meniscus, he's torn an ACL, there's something like that. You know, does he come back with that same athleticism in a year? You know, or does he come back diminished? And all of a sudden, he's 6'7", 285, and he's just sort of Zach Randolph. I mean, you know, if that ends up being the case, then we ruined a great thing for nothing. And that discussion is an interesting discussion, but it's really not good for either the NBA or the NCAA.
All right, here's my thing. I look at Joel Embiid, where he had to sit out the first 2 years of his NBA career with Philadelphia, and they really took their time, they're patient. He's now averaging 27 points and 13 rebounds a game, and he's about 24 now? That sort of thing with Zion. I'm still taking him number one overall. Even if he has to sit out, I'm doing that.
Oh, yeah, I would take him number one overall. So that insurance policy is not going to matter. 19th pick. Even if he's torn his ACL, torn meniscus, whatever, and he's not going to play next year, yeah, you're still taking him number one. You're just realizing that you're going to get another number one pick. Kind of like the Philadelphia 76ers did. They were able to bank a couple extra picks because Joel Embiid was not able to produce for them for that period of time as he was recovering. But it's still a roll of the dice, too, because, tell Embiid came back, and then he had some really productive games, but he was on minutes restrictions. And really, this year is the first year we're really seeing, sort of the restraints pulled off of him and really seeing what he can do. Not only in one game for 40 minutes, but, back-to-backs and, long stretches, long road trips, that kind of thing. And so now we're finally saying, hey, this guy that years ago we were told was a great prospect, he's finally showing to be a great prospect. But, the jury was out for a long time on him. And so, again, and he's a little different, too. He was never known for his athleticism. He's a big guy. He's got great basketball skills. And I'm not saying that Zion doesn't have great basketball skills. I think he's got a lot to work on, his outside shots, some things like that. He's also he is 6'7". If he's 6'7" and anchored to the floor because he's lost that incredible athleticism, I don't mean to demean Zach Randolph, but that's not the ceiling we see right now for Zion Williamson. We see LeBron James, Michael Jordan all in one package. If he turns out to be Zach Randolph, Randolph played 14, 15 years in the NBA. He was very productive, but he wasn't game changing. He wasn't NBA defining. How he comes out of this, whether it's a minor injury and we're just worrying about nothing, or if it's something more major, it is something to factor in when you're Zion thinking about playing for free for another month or so.
What do you think of me then? This is very key because it's all about me. I don't know if you know this. Am I a mixture of Mad Dog Radio, also Dan Patrick, Colin Cowherd? What do you see? What's your emphasis on me then, Chris?
What's my emphasis on you? Let's see. Well, I would never equate you to Francesca, because you actually watch sports. So I think that's an important distinction there, I during the day I have the Dan Patrick show on, then I flip over to Levitard. I love Dan Levitard's show, the little tongue-in-cheekness of that. I love that about your show too. I love joining you on the show when I get the chance to do so because, it's hardcore sports talk. We just spent 10 minutes in hardcore sports talk, but then, we have a little bit of fun too. So yeah, I'm putting you in that realm and those are the guys I really respect.
I appreciate that. All right. Checks in the mail or what do I say now? No, I will Apple Pay you. Is that what it is now?
Go.
That's what we go with.
I'll Venmo you and you can just respond.
Yeah, yeah, we'll do that. I appreciate the kind words. I really do. I want you to know this. The hater in me is now excited because I take a step back and I go, wait a minute. I don't like Duke. Most of America doesn't like Duke. Maybe this opens the door for our Virginia Cavaliers to make a run now, Chris.
It really does. I mean, we think when we cover sports and talk about sports, we think we know it all, and going into last night, as of the tip of that game last night, Duke is the best team in the country. They've lost a couple times, but they're tough. They're getting these freshmen are playing older now, and they figure some things out. And then Zion gets hurt, and even if he comes back 100%, whether it's Saturday night at Syracuse or sometime next week or sometime next month, when he steps back on the floor, assuming he does, they're Duke. But if he doesn't step back on the floor, yeah, they're an average basketball team. I don't think they're an average basketball team. They're an average good basketball team. I mean, they still have R.J. Barrett, Cam Reddish, Trey Jones. They still have those guys. They're still going to be good. But, yeah, the narrative changes. I mean, you mentioned it earlier in this interview that they never led last night. At home against North Carolina, a team that, yes, is now 11-2, three-way tie for first in the ACC with Virginia and Duke. but a team that lost at home to Virginia last week. They lost by 21 home to Louisville. So, you know, they've got their issues. A young Carolina team as well. You know, their best player is Coby White. I know Luke May will be first-team All-ACC again. He's a senior, but, you know, he's not the dynamic player that Coby White is. Nasir Little, a potential one-and-done, is on the bench from that team, so it's a pretty deep team. And they couldn't leave. They, in fact, trailed most of the game by double digits at home to this North Carolina team. So, the ACC is open. The college basketball in general, the national scene is open. You have to start thinking more about Gonzaga again, the team that is 1-0 against Duke, on a neutral court, everybody at full strength. You think more about Kentucky. You think more about Tennessee. So, last night, him slipping 33 seconds into the game, and we've got a lot more to talk about.
That's right. All right. You know what I'm going to ask you. You've been waiting. I know you've been waiting. You've been waiting and waiting. We're here with Chris Graham, August Free Press. All right, here's the thing. Why are they bringing up the NXT guys right now? And then why are they all faces or baby faces, whatever you want to say? Why now? Why not after WrestleMania? What's happened here, Chris? Explain yourself.
I think what we're seeing is a little bit of panic, and panic that's resulting in some good things because I like the way these guys have been booked. But there's panic because the ratings have been in the tank. Mm-hmm. And they brought up some of the mid-card NXT guys, including Lars Sullivan. But there's not a lot of buzz about that. So, hey, we've got Ciampa. We've got Gargano. We've got Aleister Black. And who was the fourth? And of course, Ricochet.
Ricochet.
Ricochet. And so those guys are hot in NXT right now. We're paying them anyway. We've already got the NXT next month or so of shows in the tank because we do those recordings, the TV tapings once a month. So let's make them work Mondays and Tuesdays and see if it works. And I'll tell you what, I haven't been watching WWE the Monday and Tuesday shows, start to finish for a while because I hated the writing. I just was just not enthused about the product. I'd watch the Sunday pay per views once a month and keep up. I just had not been enthused. I watched start to finish SmackDown. I went back and watched Raw. I had to cover the UVA Virginia Tech game Monday night, big Monday on ESPN. But I was able to go back and watch Raw, and I was transfixed. They keep getting me to come back from commercial break because now the next NXT guy's on, and so they're using them well. They're putting them over. I mean, they're having these guys win against some really talented guys, and at least for now, reformed DIY team, Gargano and Ciampa, with wins over the Revival and the Bar. I mean, they're pushing them, and so I like it. And but it is a panic button kind of move.
Uh-huh.
But man, I tell you what, if I'm WWE and I'm getting ready to write SmackDown after WrestleMania, because you're kind of stuck with what you have going into WrestleMania. But after WrestleMania, I build around Ciampa and Gargano. I know what they're doing. Here's what I think they're doing. Having them tag team right now. They'll tag team for, a few weeks. They'll win some matches. They'll beat some top guys. And eventually they'll turn on each other again. We're going to see it. We're going to see what we saw last year in NXT replay on SmackDown. And I think Ciampa is the best heel in all of pro wrestling, all over the world. Whatever company you want to say, I think he's the best heel. He gets the most heat. And he's so good. His interviews are good. His work rate is good. Gargano and he, those matches last year, especially the November match, best matches in North America last year were those matches. So if we get to see those again, I'm a very happy man.
I don't know if you know this, but when was this? Was this last year where I was at an NXT taping? I know you're jealous.
Yeah, I am.
Where producer Derek and I, we were in the the entrance ramp where they have seats right there. So we're in the back row of the entrance ramp seats, and those two guys, Johnny Wrestling and Ciampa, like they are punching each other out. I swear, 3 inches from my head, and they're just and like when you watch, I'll have to find the video for you because I took a photo of it. I'm telling you, I like look at Derek, and all of a sudden there's like a spinning heel kick coming at his head. I'm like, is this going to hit Derek? No, it hit Johnny Wrestling. It was amazing. Forget March Madness. Just come down here in March, and we'll go to the taping. All right? Let's go.
I tell you, the conclusion to that Last Man Standing match at the TakeOver event in November last year, where Gargano handcuffs Ciampa to, you know, something in the back there, and then goes for the knee and misses and knocks himself out. You know, wrestling, we think we know everything. We know where booking is going, et cetera. So we watch it, but we don't get into it as much as we did maybe when we were kids, you know, believed it was quote unquote real. When he did that and knocked himself out, I was yelling at the TV. My wife thought something like there was something breaking in the house. I'm screaming in my living room at the TV. Oh my God, that just happened. And, that's when they can make you suspend disbelief that way. That's awesome. So,
yeah.
You know, I give a lot of credit to those guys.
All I'm going to tell you is, and I think I've said this before, but maybe not on the air, I could watch Becky Lynch and Charlotte brawl each other, like they just keep punching each other. I could watch that over and over again till the end of time. I'm not kidding. I love it, and I can't wait for Mania.
She's so over right now. She's this generation's version of Stone Cold Steve Austin. I love seeing the fact that she's resonated so much with fans. And credit to WWE, they don't like doing this. They don't always like elevating someone the fans actually like. They want to create that themselves. They've just rolled with it. They've let it be, and it's a good thing to see.
I think we need a storyline where the head of my corporation shows up and says, "Mark, you've been suspended for 30 days. That's what it is." And then he's like, "You can't do your big birthday bash at the beach broadcast. That's a lot of bees there." And then, like, the crowd gets behind me. Yeah, let's do it. All right, then you come to help. See, we could write. I know I showed you that, was it a LinkedIn job opening where you could be a writer?
Yeah.
We have to apply for that. You and me, we're going to do it.
If we could go as a team, I would do it. If they would hire us as a group there, man, yeah, I tell you what, we would have fun. And I mean, we could get some of these storylines to come to real life.
Oh, I know. We'll tell your wife, like, "I'm sorry, honey. I'm moving with Mark to Stamford, Connecticut, or Sanford, whatever it is, and we're writing for the WWE. This is really my dream. I'll see you later." That's what's going
to
happen.
That would be the deal breaker. She wants me to move down there where you are right now. We can work for NXT, and she gets to go to the beach. If that's part of the package deal, we're in the moving van tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. His name is Chris Graham, Augusta Free Press. We're coming up with storylines for his own life. Chris, thanks for your help, and I'll see you around. All right, man?
Thanks, Mark.